Cassie,
slave me.
What was that called? Cassie just showed us a version
Goofy
of
Goofy sings Bring Me to Life.
I'll have to put that up in the
Facebook group. That was good. I don't know how that guy kept a straight face and did not laugh while recording that, because that shit was hilarious. The best version of that song, in my opinion. But today we're going to be talking about the original version of Evanescence's Bring Me to Life. Bring Me to Life is that what they call that song. And they had to put a rap in it at some point.
All the rage in 2003.
I'm confused because I want to believe it's just that guy in the background and like the two lines that he says. Is that the rap? And Jake tried to find an original, and that seems to be the only one that we can find. So was there more to it? No. I hope it says
in
this article.
So I think it was just the fact that they put it in there, and yeah, I don't.
They didn't want to.
Yeah, that's what it sounds like.
Yeah, this
but story
was
it.
Suggested by Don. So thank you for participating in our Facebook group. You had that CD, didn't you?
Oh yeah, their first one.
So you know what the original version is, and it was that one.
Yeah,
yeah, that was
just with
that
the
was the original version. Yeah.
Can't wake up. So like at towards the end of the song, he has like two or three lines that he says, which I guess is a rap. But
yeah, sort of.
I thought they meant like there used to be something more than
yeah,
that.
Yeah, that's what
like,
it sounded like. But yeah, I'm actually kind of glad they didn't.
It's like a small feature.
Keep him in all of the put him in all of the songs.
Yeah, well, it would have been too Linkin Park-y.
Yeah, but I prefer her vocals.
Yeah.
So
Linkin Park-y.
Well, the just with the like
Mike
singing
Shinoda
and the rapping in the background
sure.
too.
I think that's probably what they were going for. This came out in 2003, and Linkin
yeah.
Park Numb was huge like, in 2004.
I think 2003.
2004. Yeah,
it was 2002. All like the same time frame.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, if you didn't have a rap on your song, it wasn't getting played on VH1.
Do you want to read this?
Yeah.
Hell yeah. This one is from news.com.au.
Wow.
By Cameron Adams.
Cameron.
Evanescence have removed the compromise rap from their biggest hit.
You know, should we tell them who we are?
Oh, yeah. Fuck.
Yeah. Welcome to the show, everybody. This is Death by Music Podcast. I am Jake. I'm here with Cassie and Alex.
I knew you'd get Hello. Better at this.
Yeah.
Look at you.
Someday.
He's doing his job.
Taking initiative. I like it. You get a raise. You get a promotion.
All right.
So Evanescence's Amy Lee is rewriting history on the band's new album.
Oh, by the way, this came out in 2017. Nothing is new on this podcast. Gotcha, bitch.
Their fourth release, Synthesis?
Synthesis.
Oh my god, I can't read. Their fourth release, Synthesis. Wow. Anyway, their fourth release, Synthesis, is the opposite of an unplugged effort. Rather, Lee has re-recorded the band's old material in an even more dramatic and bombastic manner. Shaggy.
Bombastic.
With a full orchestra and heavy electronics. That includes their breakthrough 2003 hit, Bring Me to Life. There's something missing from the version you know. That rap by vocalist Paul McCoy. He was a guest. So, quote, God bless the rap. It's part of what got us on the radio, I guess. True, Lee says. At least according to all the rules of radio that I don't agree with or understand. The rap wasn't part of the original idea or sound. It was a compromise in many ways. So to be able to go back to the original version for the song was great. I don't know why she hated it.
Well, because it wasn't their vision for it. We were all introduced to Evanescence, so
right.
It makes sense. It's a part of the song to us, but they're like, that was never what we wanted.
Yeah.
Yeah, it sounds like that's the producer stepping in or the label stepping in,
yeah.
Like, hey, put this in here. It'll be popular so we can make some money. So
we just need a man on the song because this feminine energy is a little too much.
Well, I mean, he had little parts here and there. It didn't have to have the full rap. He was still
it's
kind of
like how we feature Jake on the podcast.
Right. We don't really care what you're saying.
All he does is he introduces the show and then he shuts the fuck up. You know?
That's what I'm good for. Shut the fuck up.
It's not uncommon for an artist to go back and record their songs. Taylor Swift. Lee embraced being able to revisit the band's signature hit after performing it live at every concert they've played ever since it was released.
So I wonder if in concert they had somebody rapping or if they just always did it the right way. And they were like, can't wait to get that shit off.
But you know what happens though is because people become so ingrained with the album version that mm-hmm. if you play it differently live, they're like, I don't want to hear that.
They're,
I want to hear how
you
it
know
sounds
what? They're
on the album.
The crowd's going to do the rap.
That's true. And they're going to just stick the microphone out.
And she's going to be like, fucking, I hate you guys.
So the recording of a song that ends being the one you hear most throughout history is usually when the song was just freshly written. You're still learning it to yourself and getting used to what the notes are and how the parts go. That's true for Bring Me to Life, for sure. After doing it live for so long, there's different vocal choices I've made and different things we got to use in this version. And no rap. Quote, I forget that there's a rap there now, to be honest, Lee says. At the time, it was a big issue. It was our first single. I wanted people to understand who we were. That's a struggle you always fight as an artist. If we only had one hit, if no one ever heard us again, then nobody would understand who we were. We've made it past that point, so the rap doesn't make me angry anymore. I'm so glad to put a new version out there without the rap, though.
I mean, it makes sense why she would forget it was even in there, because you're not just hanging out listening to your albums unless you're... I mean, that would be really strange. I don't think artists just sit there and put their CD on.
I listen to only my recorded music. Yeah.
Yeah.
Here's me.
But you perform it, and you're not performing it with the rap in it, so... Then you're like, oh, shit.
Yeah, it just kind of disappears after a while.
Yeah, let's redo it the way that we perform it live.
Well, also, when you said they removed the rap, I was like, there was a rap in there? Like, yeah. I wouldn't have also considered that a rap, but here we are. Similarly, there's an adult version of another Evanescence album, My Immortal. Like Bring Me to Life, it's been subject of countless covers and soundtracked by many moody memes. Lee admits My Immortal almost got cut from Synthesis. Quote, people have heard it so many times, I'm pretty open about the fact that it's not one of my favorite songs, but I couldn't resist the opportunity to totally re-record it again. Despite a band version being recorded for their 17 million selling debut album Fallen, most fans and radio gravitated to the early version of My Immortal, which Lee recorded as a teenager sneaking into the studio her dad worked at after hours.
Huh.
I vaguely remember there being a different version of that song now. It's been a while since I've kind of listened to them. In a while. Yeah,
I bet that's an interesting one to hear her as a kid.
Yeah.
Yeah, there were two different versions. There was like the album version and then something, the previous version. I don't remember what it was. Maybe it was a demo. I don't remember.
Yeah, that's what it says here.
She said, quote, I hate that version. I totally hate it, but it's an old demo from before we were even signed. Every time I hear it, it gets under my skin, but that's the version most people play.
She sounds like a perfectionist.
I love the album version we did, but I wanted to do a new version so people knew where I am vocally as a 35-year-old with all of this experience I have now behind me, as opposed to when I was 17. It's beautiful because it's pure and innocent, but I was still definitely finding my voice.
That's what people love, though, because she's got such a strong and distinct voice.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So hearing her, like being able to hear an unpolished version of that and where she was when it was coming. That's why I love listening to demos. I like to hear this shit in the background. I like to hear all the noise and like people coughing and, you know, the notes that you're missing. I think that's more interesting because I know what the song sounds like when you have perfected it.
Right.
I like to hear it in the beginning stages.
It's like a vulnerability thing, but yeah. Like the authenticity factor is like
the
a lot higher.
The synthesicity factor.
I can't speak. I don't know why I'm here. She said, quote, I want this version to be at the top on Spotify. If someone Googles My Immortal, I hope this version comes up, at least for a few months.
But you still loading them and heating them up with all your single shit you've been dropping. You feel me? Loading them up on. It only takes structure. And you know, just paying attention to the climate of the game.
Yeah.
Know what I mean?
So do your homies got a role in your little, you mean?
Yeah, we all artists over here, man. I'm trying to get them on there. Look, we all artists, man. You feel me? We gonna have this like,
bro, me and my man Kai, we be like, I don't know, we play with this shit right now. I gonna lie, we play with this shit right now for real. I gonna lie.
Don't play with it. Take that shit serious.
I'm going to have to check it out now. I didn't realize that they had that fourth album out where they re-recorded a bunch of stuff. I'm going to go check it out.
Yeah, learn something new every day.
We taught you something new. Synthesis is a passion project for Lee and David Campbell, a.k.a. Beck's dad, and one of America's top arrangers who has worked on each Evanescence album. Quote, it's cool to create something people don't expect, Lee says. I enjoy that probably a bit too much. I wanted to combine that classical orchestral work and the electronic programming. Both sides have been in our music before, but this is making it all about those two extreme parts.
Bean. Stop it.
Chill, my guy. By the time of the self-titled third album in 2011, Lee had been through a ringer with the business side of the music business. band members, including founders and songwriters Ben Moody and Dave Holmes, had left, there'd been legal wrangling with her record label, who even rejected the first attempt at their self-titled release.
What? That's crazy.
Lee had started saying in interviews that Evanescence might be over, started doing solo work, and in 2014 had her son Jack to husband Josh Hartzler, the inspiration behind Bring Me to Life.
Yeah, people thought it was about that guy from Seether, Sean Morgan.
Was it that or Ben Moody? Because Ben Moody left shortly after the first album came out, I do believe.
No, people thought that Bring Me to Life was about Sean Morgan from Seether because they were dating at the time, but mm-hmm. she was like, no, it was actually, she had met this dude Josh Hartzler like years before, and she said that the way he just peered into her soul and was like, are you okay? And she was like, bitch, excuse me. And then she was like, wait, am I okay?
I'm not okay.
And so she had this like thing in her head about him, and then years later they ended up getting together, getting married, having right. kids together, but she was like, when she was writing that song, she, in her head, it was about that guy, but she was with Sean Morgan, I believe is his name, at the time.
Oh, okay.
And just wouldn't really say, like, oh, yeah, it's about him, because it fucking wasn't. Mm. Anyways, that guy looks like he needs to take a shower.
Last year, Lee, well, last year in 2017, so in 2016, Lee even released a children's album with covers of everything from Sesame Street's Rubber Ducky, Bars, to the Beatles' Hello Goodbye with Jack on vocals, which shattered her intense goth image.
It's almost like the way Goofy released a cover of Bring Me to Life.
Well, no, there's that band I showed you. Well, it's not a band. It's the guy, the lead singer of the Presidents of the United States of America, is now writing, and I don't know if he's still actively doing anything, but he's got a band called Casper Baby Pants, and they sing kid songs that are completely made up, and they're hysterical.
I think he went on stage with Weird Al for a cover of a song, too, in the last couple of years.
Perhaps.
Yes. It might have been Peaches. Wait, is that the same band?
What?
No. Moldy Peaches. No, Moldy Peaches. Oh, wait. Is it? Is
Peaches,
it?
Peaches was President of the United States.
Oh. Oh, yeah.
That was big in, like, 96.
Yes.
I remember that. Yes,
it was them. I was thinking of Lump. Because Gump.
Yeah, he did. Yeah, yes, Weird Al covered Lump, but I do believe that guy showed up at one of his recent shows in the past couple of years, and I think they covered Peaches.
Interesting.
I think.
Chris Ballou. Anyway, quote, I wouldn't say I hated the band, but I've more than once had to have that moment after the end of a tour or an album cycle where I say, I think I'm done. I don't think I want to do this anymore. It's too hard, Lee admits. Between keeping everyone together and happy, all the politics, all the business, all the crap, all the people trying to take advantage of you, it felt like a lot of the time I have to fight so hard just to do the thing I want to do, which is make and perform music. That fight was a full-time job in itself. I've gone over and down the mountain again a few times in my life where I was going to quit, but I've only said it to myself. I don't like making big statements. I just like knowing I have the freedom to that if I want to stop, it's up to me. Anytime I start to feel those marketing thoughts again, this feels smart from a business sense. I hate it. I can't do it. It's gross in my mouth.
Yeah, especially,
she's an artist.
Yeah. You want to create music. You don't care how much money you're making.
Yeah. Well, there's always a certain point where it turns into a job. And
sure.
What was I watching? I was watching something recently where they were talking about songwriting. No, it was that book. It was the book I was listening to from Peter Hook about Joy Division, where he was like, man, it was so awesome at the beginning because it wasn't a job, because we weren't making money.
Yeah.
And the one thing that was like really great of their manager to do was like give them an allowance and not see, let them see all of their money, because if they got money, then they'd start to turn into assholes and look at it as a business.
Yeah.
So they remained pure in creating art for art's sake. And then as it got later on down the line and he continued writing music, he would notice in the studio, like, man, this kind of sucks because now we're following a formula because we know what you're supposed to do. We know you're supposed to do album tour. You're supposed to write some songs. Okay, so let's start with a hook. Then let's do this. Then let's do that.
Yeah, the songs get formulaic. You can hear that in a lot of bands as they age.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and he was aware of that.
Yeah, like, and you can hear them the change in the music.
Or they start to sound the same as something they released before, and you're like, didn't you already write this song? Like, what do you mean?
Yeah.
Some bands do that. Yeah.
He was like, at first, we didn't know the rules because they all, if you remember from that Joy Division episode, they had all just picked up instruments and learned on their own how to play. Yeah. None of them had lessons. So when they were writing songs, it was totally organic.
Yeah.
And then you get to this point where it's a business and you know that, oh, well, I got to put out 12 more songs. All right, let's do this, that, and the other. Sounds like that was where she was getting to as well. And she's like, fuck this. I don't even want to do this. I never wanted to be a business person.
Not inspiring.
Yeah. Sucks.
Lee is excited about synthesis. What is it? Synthesis? Are you sure it's not synthesis?
Well, at least you're saying it correctly this time with all the correct letters in order.
What was I?
Synesthesia?
Something weird. Synthesis. It wasn't even synthesis. Remotely close.
Like photosynthesis. Okay.
Yeah.
Lee is excited about synthesis. She has formed a tour around the project, which Evanescence picking up orchestras in each state. Oh, with Evanescence picking up orchestras in each state.
That's cool. Weird Al did that.
Yeah.
A couple of times.
Actually, oh shit. I know you only read one sentence, but let me sidetrack.
Oh
again.
My God. Let me finish.
Was it
what?
Cypress Hill? Okay, sorry.
I was like, what?
I saw an article this morning about like a rap group. It was like Simpsons predicted nearly 30 years after the two were paired in the infamous Homer Palooza episode, Cypress Hill and the London Symphony Orchestra are making a classic Simpsons bit a reality. Anyways.
Are they doing it because they know it exists, or are they doing it because they were going to do it in the first place?
There's no way they were going to do it in the first place. I think they're doing it because of the Simpsons thing. Like, but oh, however, it is cool when these groups partner with symphonies and orchestras, and Metallica did it.
Twice.
Yeah, they called it S&M. Anyway, Cassie, finish the article.
Get on with it.
There's a more expensive option, which is touring around with 30 extra people, but I am not on that level, Lee jokes. The singer is also curating an opening set where the guest orchestral musicians will perform some of Lee's favorite classical pieces that inspired Evanescence songs.
That's cool.
That is
cool.
Mozart.
Rammstein did that.
Yeah. Well, the one song, I can't remember.
Rammstein is classical.
Yeah. They did, Rammstein did their piano versions. They had the chicks come out and do them.
Please.
But I can't remember the name of the song, but one of the songs has, I think it was Lacrimosa. She used Mozart.
Yeah, I could see them using that.
Yeah, that was on the first album, I do believe, first or second.
quote, what I want to do is what I want to hear from all other artists, and that's something real. I don't want to be sold anything left and right all day on my phone. People are trying to sell me stuff. I don't want to be part of that. I don't want to sell something. I want to say something real. If that means I have to take off for 3 years and work out if it's going to be another Evanescence record or some weird solo project or movie project until it's something real, then I think that's right. I don't feel like that right now. I gave myself that space. I'm really passionate about this project. I poured a ton of work into it. I'm ready to show people to see what they think of it. And then trying to my best to not care too much, because if they don't like it, I still love it and I'm going to stand behind it.
I appreciate that.
Mm-hmm.
You can't just, you're going to make something and put it out there and it is what it is. It's like she's turning off the comment sections. Like, here's my stuff. I don't care if you like it. I like it.
Right.
Yeah. Your opinion's not going to sway my opinion of myself.
I'm not going to let you ruin my day.
And guess what? She'll still keep doing it because it's what makes her happy. That's fine. Indeed, after being written off, next year marks 15 years since Evanescence's breakthrough. Wait, so that's 2017. What's the math on that? Because this would have been...
2018 would be 15, 2018, 19,
2020. 30?
Yeah, because last year was the 20th anniversary of Fallen. Was that their first album?
That was the second one, I believe.
Okay. Well, it was the first one.
I don't know.
Whatever. Last year was a 20th anniversary edition of one of their albums, because I remember they put it out on vinyl and I played like the piano demo or something. Uh-huh. Bring Me to Life on the radio.
Oh,
we have
cool.
a vinyl feature. So I'm like, I know everybody's 30th, 40th, 50th anniversary album releases I'm trying to find cool tracks to play.
I might have to find that and add it to my collection. And then finally set up that record player so I can actually listen to my collection. Yeah. I have a record player, but it's not quite working at the moment.
So lastly, she says, I'm very proud of who I am after all we've been through. We've been through plenty of changes, plenty of horrible stuff. I feel like I trust my band. There's a mutual respect going on. I didn't have that in the early days. Things changed a lot of times, constant struggle and change. The dream wasn't to be changing. It was to be set, have a family and a team. I feel like we're at that place right now. That's another reason I feel motivated to make more music and go out to tour. When the team isn't strong and everyone's fighting, it's unhealthy and makes it seem hard. If I'm not going to be supported, I'll just go and do something else. That's where we're at. We're in a good place.
It just reminds me of our trajectory as a podcast. when we were young and stupid and we didn't know what we were doing and our team was fighting and it was just dumb and annoying. And then we matured at some point and now we're good.
Well, that was because I showed up.
Yeah.
The caption.
Well, you brought the average age of the podcast
up, way up.
Not that much.
Yeah, when you're 100, I'll do it.
Not that much.
They have a picture of her on this website, and the caption says, "See, Amy isn't afraid of the sun." Also, there were so many typos in this article.
Yeah, they're from Australia. John,
so they don't know how to use the word.
You all know how to type?
You don't know the difference between two and two? Thank you.
I gotta say, if you guys are looking for some other Amy Lee stuff, she has done a couple songs with Lindsey Stirling. "Love Goes On and On" is really, really good. Lindsey Stirling, the violin player.
I know her. I thought, didn't she do something else? I'm thinking of that song "Broken" with the guy she was dating from Seether. That's what it is.
Oh yeah, there was that one.
I did not like that.
It's not my favorite of theirs. I like those first two albums. I haven't really explored anything after the first two albums, but the first two albums I really liked.
I'm gonna get to see them this year. I'm really looking forward to that. They're gonna be finally at one of the music festivals I'm going to. I feel like they always have the same fucking lineups every year, which is fine because I like the bands that they put in, but finally it's like a band I haven't seen before.
Yeah.
Wow. So looking forward to that. And I bet you every fucking person in the crowd is going to yell the rap or at least mumble it because nobody actually knows the words.
Right.
But yeah, make sure you guys go look up. I'll try to post it in the group when we post this episode. What you think of this goofy Bring Me to Life version. Also, we had a question a couple weeks back on a mini episode. It was because Cassie, we did an episode on this guy from Mr. Bungle. He had been a member of Mr. Bungle. He got kicked out of the band because he was fucking crazy, and then he potentially like murdered his girlfriend, so he's been arrested. She was missing for quite some time before authorities actually started searching for him. So we asked on that episode, how long do you think you could be missing before people realized you were?
Immediately. I have two children at home.
She's not talking about another baby Steve, guys.
What's for dinner? Where'd you go?
No, immediately. Also, my work, they text me, like, why aren't you answering?
Yeah, your work people, like, literally, we see you once a month, and still when you're walking in the door, you're usually on the phone with one of them because they can't get their shit together. Yeah.
I wasn't today.
You could never go missing.
No, I could. But somebody
are you thinking about it now? You're matter of fact,
I could potentially go missing, but somebody would know almost immediately.
Yeah,
especially if I didn't like show up to work when I was scheduled or something. They'd be like, "Where is she? She's dead in a ditch."
Yeah, they would know immediately.
Yeah, they would know. People would know.
Would it be Dan?
Probably my mom.
Okay.
No, Dan would know because he'd be like, "Where's the baby?"
Yeah, he wouldn't. He wouldn't kill you.
No, I could take him. He wouldn't. He wouldn't kill me. Are you kidding me? Mm-mm. He'd have to do stuff on his own.
Then he'd have to make dinner.
Yeah, then he'd have to make dinner. He'd have to do dishes.
Yeah.
He'd have to do anything else.
No way. It might the other way around, though.
I had dinner. I had everything ready to go. We ate before I came over here, and I pre-soaked the things that weren't going in the dishwasher. I was like, okay, these are, like, ready to go. Like, bye. And he was like, oh, you can do this when you get back. I was like, fuck you. Bye. I think he was joking, because if they're still in the sink when I get home, he's going to be the one that's dead.
Okay. Well, you heard it here first. When this episode comes out, somebody check on Dan. Thanks for listening, and name is Dan. Rest in peace.
Bye.
Later.
Death by Music podcast is written and produced by Alex Motler, Cassie Gardner, and Jake.